back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday session of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. So we got a lot to get into today. Fun looking Thursday night football game in Philadelphia with the Vikings in town. We're going to be all over that one with a handful of bets, with a handful of guests. We're going to be taking a look ahead to some of the Sunday action as well. And in the second half of the show, Brad Powers will be by to discuss some of the biggest games on the weekend for college football. So before we get into my first guest, guys, just a quick reminder. If you prefer to listen to the show via podcast, you can find it wherever podcasts are found. And if you're in the live chat right now, let us know what bets you were on tonight. Let me know what you think of my new haircut. My wife gave me a nice compliment. I don't know if she was just being nice. So, or if you're watching the replay, drop your best bets in the comments section right down there. Okay, let's get into it here. Let's bring in my first guest, Josh Ingles, Covers co-worker. We call him Jingles around here. Jingles, how did week one treat you?
Week one was heavy on props. And, I mean, the weather just stunk. Thursday night kind of predicted it. Kansas City was just awful in play calling in second and third downs. They had the number one success rate on first downs in that Thursday night game and then just kind of threw it away. Obviously, the Tony drops didn't help, but that was a tough one to start the week. But week two is looking good. We got more information, which is always key. So ahead on some good numbers, too.
Okay, let's get right into it. So like I said, fun-looking game tonight. We got the Vikings in Philly taking on the Eagles. I'm going to hit lead off my best bet for this game. I love the over on 48.5. So let's get right into this one. Expect the Vikings to attack the Eagles, beat up secondary in this one. So Minnesota coming off a game where they threw on 73% of their plays, and they might be inclined to throw a lot more tonight with James Bradbury and Reed Blankenship out for the Eagles. Philly coming off a game where Mac Jones threw for 316 yards against them. And I think there's a chance that this Philly defense might be a little bit overrated. They're coming off a real cupcake schedule last season. Sure, they did what they were supposed to do versus a very long list of bad offenses last season. But up against capable offenses, we saw the Lions drop 35 on them. The Cowboys dropped 40 on them. Of course, the Chiefs hit them up for 38 in the Super Bowl. Now a clear rebuttal might be, Joe, these teams played last season. The Vikings only scored 7 points in that game. That's true, but both of these teams left a lot of points on the table in that game. They did combine for 31 points in the first half, then 0 points in the second half. Just a weird game. They combined to go 2 for 6 in the red zone. Kirk Cousins was turning it over all over the place. 3 interceptions. The Eagles did slice them up pretty good in that game. 7.1 yards per play. I expect much of the same tonight. I expect both teams to be zipping up and down that field. Over 48.5 is my best bet. Jingles, what's your favorite bet for the game tonight?
I do like points in this game for sure. But first thing, same as our blitz play, we release this on the blitz. We got it at 44.5. It's up to 46.5. Jalen Hurts over 46.5 rushing yards, -110. Like I said, was it 44.5? So the market's going up. So like the way the market's moving. Minnesota, we saw with Brian Flores coming in, blitzed at one of the highest rates in week one. They didn't really do much with it. We saw Baker Mayfield have 8 carries for 11 yards. And what that is him just escaping the blitz and the pass rush and basically just getting back to the line of scrimmage. If Jalen Hurts can sidestep this blitz, big yards are to be had for the man on the ground. This is a guy who averaged 50 yards per game last year. No Kenneth Gainwell. We have game script in our favor as a now 6.5 point favorite. And this is one of the most run proof, game script proof quarterbacks in football. We saw, I mean, he fumbled the ball away, but this is a quarterback who runs in any game script. And I think the carries are going to be there for the over here today, Joe.
Okay, there you have it. Hurts over. Okay, my second favorite play for the game tonight. We'll get in and out with this one. A quickie. I like the Eagles to cover the first quarter spread, favored by 1.5. So Philly starts fast. Minnesota starts slow. Check this out. The Eagles have scored first in 17 of their last 21 games. They were leading 16-0 at the end of the first quarter in New England last week. And I do expect them to get off to a fast start versus a Vikings team that was dead last in first quarter points allowed last season. For what it's worth, the Eagles did lead by 7 at the end of 1Q when the teams faced off last season. So the Eagles to be up by at least two at the end of the first quarter. I like that one quite a bit. Okay, Jingle, so you gave us your favorite prop for the game. How do you feel about the game as a whole? How do you think this one plays out?
You touched obviously on the secondary issues, and your next guest, David Sanchez, can certainly talk about it and have more experience than I. But I mean, so you lose your green dot, you lose James Bradbury. That's massive. Then Reed Blankenship was the second green dot. He's out. This Philly secondary has lost a ton of communication. And they have to face obviously Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, who I've laddered Jordan Addison at 75 at plus 450 and 100 yards at plus 1200. Obviously Darius Slay could lock down Jefferson again. But like I said, a lot of people are talking about there's an advantage here with Kirk Cousins against this banged up secondary. But on the other side, Minnesota's without their starting center. Minnesota could be without one of their offensive tackles. Could this Philly defensive line get to Kirk before he can take advantage of it? Well, this defensive line had an absolute cupcake schedule versus New England last week, who was down two offensive linemen. I think they have six offensive linemen, a questionable heading into week two. New England does. So they didn't really take advantage. Mac Jones, like you said, 316 yards. That was fourth most in the league in week one. 35 completions. They didn't get to him. They had a 46% pressure rate, which was high, but they only sacked him twice. So if Kirk Cousins can do his best Mac Jones impersonation, I think there's some yardage to be had, which feeds our over, which feeds, I mean, Jalen Hurts can run in any game script, but Addison looks like a ladder category for sure.
Indeed, we want that ball to be moving. Okay, so before we let you out the door, what's your favorite play for Sunday?
Sunday was waiting for James Cook rushing lines to open. He opened at 47 and a half. I got that. I'm still playing it at 50 and a half. We saw, I don't know, we kind of knew what was going to come. He took 12 of the 15 running back carries in kind of a neutral game script in prime time, 46 yards versus a defense that's basically ranked seventh since 2022. And obviously given Josh Allen fits. So I like that. Obviously love a running back with a game script in his favor as a 9.5 point favorite. He only needs 17 rushes at his average of 4.5 yards per carry to get 76. He's another ladder category. I think he's 10-1 for 100 yards. We saw, Latavius Murray and Damian Harris are going to get the goal line carries, but I don't care when I want yards. I want the between 20 back. And that's what James Cook is here. So James Cook over 47.5. And I think he could break some yards. And I mean, Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, and even DeAndre Carter, there's some issues there. Buffalo could win big if Las Vegas doesn't get their big bodies on offense back.
Indeed. Okay, Josh, so you cover a lot more than just the NFL for us here at Covers. Tell us a little bit about what else you have going on for us here at Covers.
Yeah, it's wild. Doing blitz shows, obviously, with football and Derek Carty, but Bad X release shows every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, 9:15. A lot of baseball still left, but focusing a lot on football. Be doing a show with Carlo Colaiacovo coming for hockey season as we kick off that, so lots more coming.
All right, that does it for our guy, Josh. Josh, thank you for joining the show. Best of luck with your bets. Make sure you give our guy a follow on social media. All right, let's get right into it. Let's bring our second guest in, Davis Sanchez, former NFLer, three-time Grey Cup champion, covers football up here in Canada for TSN. Davis, how are we making out? How did week one treat you?
Not too bad. I kind of treaded lightly. Josh is a maniac. The guy is doing everything. Whenever I think I'm busy, I look at Josh and realize I'm not doing a whole damn lot. But how was your week one? All good?
Week one went good. I managed to finish up slightly, I think plus 0.4 units. Okay. So I'll be able to bring the family out to a nice meal at Burger King. We'll have to skip the steak this time around. So let's get into this, Davis. Yeah. Before we touch on the Thursday nighter, let's take a quick look back at week one. Was there one specific result that changed your opinion on a team or player, either negatively or positively?
Yeah, I'm pretty high on the Cleveland Browns, and I didn't like what I saw from Deshaun Watson. I love their defense. That's the big thing for me. I've always said that I think people underestimate that defense, at least the people I'm talking to are underestimating Cleveland and that defense. I think they could be great, because, you know, the key is edge rushers and cover guys. They have, you know, some of the best or the best groups. But then just Deshaun, to me, just he has to raise his level to, you know, at least just below the best quarterbacks in the AFC. And what I saw week one was not that. And so, yeah, Deshaun, I thought there's going to be a big – I thought he was going to step up this year after a year of, you know, kind of getting back into it. But I did not see anything I like from – or much I like from Deshaun.
Okay, so let's get into this game tonight. It's looking like a fun one. A couple interesting storylines. The Philly secondary is beat up. You have the whole primetime Kirk Cousins thing. So your view on the game as a whole, and if you could only make one bet for the game, what are you betting on?
Yeah, a lot of what Josh just mentioned, I'm with the secondary and the fact that, you know, you're moving. So Joby Bradbury goes out, and this is all gonna go to Minnesota Viking receivers overs. I like a couple of them. I do like Addison. I do like Hockenson. And let me tell you the reasons why. They're bumping down. Obviously, Bradbury is out. Joby comes in for Bradbury. Now, PFF had Joby at a – I watched every snap that he was in the game last week when Joby I'm talking about, when he came in, I watched every snap. And they had him at a 51 grade, which I would take that with a grain of salt. Anyone was looking at that. He was pretty solid, to be honest. I think that grade was – I'm not sure where they're getting that from. He was pretty solid. But Blankenship in the middle, the missing one of their safeties, that's going to open up. Hockenson is going to get – they're going to have to double team him, or he's going to get open. He's going to work the middle of the field. And to your point, if their O-line is not great right now, they have, you know, their center is out, their right guard is weak, or one of the guards is weak, I expect the ball out quick, and that's Hockenson on choice routes. He's working the middle. So I like Hockenson. I like Hockenson over, and I also like Addison over.
So with this being a short week, it's early in the season. Do you think a short week is less of a big deal because it is only week two of the season?
Yeah, recovery-wise, yeah. I mean, also, I think the advantage, Joe, in a short week will be for units that have been together longer because you have the ability to adjust to schematically and to add wrinkles into your defense or offense that you may need to after seeing what happened in week one. Units that have been together longer can do that quicker and adjust. Teams that are – or units that are kind of new together, new coordinators, I think they'll have a tougher time doing that for a short week. So, yeah.
Okay, so before we get into your favorite look for Sunday, I want to ask you back week one. We had some real surprising results. The Steelers and the Giants got it absolutely handed to them on their home fields. You know, we saw surprise wins by the Rams and the Bucks, a complete no-show by the Bengals. So out of the surprising results we saw in week one, which one do you think better should underreact to the most?
Oh, gosh. That's difficult. I mean, I want to say Pittsburgh because I believe, you know, I really thought highly of them. I like what Kenny Pickett did. I mean, I think Kenny Pickett does. I think he's a young quarterback. He sees things. I just like him. I think he's instinctual, which is the, you know, confidence and instinct are the best things in a quarterback. Everyone, the rest of the stuff they all have, but that confidence and instinct. Anyway, bottom line is, there's stuff I didn't like from him, but I want to believe that's just a one-off. So I'll be real interested to see what happens this week. And then the Bill stuff is interesting, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out. If you heard yesterday, like forget about the other night, but just even yesterday coming out of Buffalo, you know, about Josh's work habits and you know, how he prepares, and maybe he's not the one and all that. So I'm interested to see how do you think Josh bounces back here? What's your take on Josh right now and what you saw?
Well, he seems to be regressing, you know, the first 2 years of his career, those were the issues, turnovers, you know, a lot of ugly throws, and he's a volatile wild card. He's going to win a lot of games for them, and they're going to lose a lot of games because of Josh Allen. And that's exactly what happened on Monday night against the Jets. They had that game handed to them on a silver platter, especially when Aaron Rodgers went down, and they should have won that game easily. And I think that's going to come back to bite them in a very tight AFC.
That's the key.
The Jets are probably out of the picture now, to be honest, but there's a lot of competition in the AFC North. The Chargers are probably going to get back in the mix. Miami looks like they're going to be really good. There's always going to be a surprise team or two. So I think that might come back to bite them quite badly.
That's the most shocking thing is Josh understands how tight the AFC East is and the AFC to not grab the one when they needed it. It surprises me.
All right, my man, let's look ahead to Sunday here. What's your favorite bet for the weekend?
Yeah, I like your Miami Dolphins.
Yes, sir.
And look, I think Miami Dolphins, if you're playing the Patriots, you know Belichick. I think they played more man than anybody else in week one. They play that's Bill. They're gonna play some man snaps. The Dolphins caught the Chargers. I'll say caught because the Chargers don't want to play man against the Dolphins. They caught them in man, I believe, five times in the game, and twice big chunk explosive plays from Tyreek, and a third one he was open, but Tua got pressured and flushed out and couldn't get it out on time. So that's three potentially two big plays, explosives versus man. I mean, if you're getting versus man, if you're getting over 50% of the plays, big down the field chunks, that's not good. It should be more of like 3 or 4%. But yeah, so I think if you look at the Patriots and they want to play man, they just can't play man. And even with an injured, if Waddle is banged up, which I've heard, he might be out with a hip flex or whatever it is. They're still deep there. I mean, I was down there for a few days. I got sent down for camp and watched a few days down there. Braxton Berrios is a menace in the slot. Like him and Tua were, if I didn't know any better and know the numbers on the jerseys, I would have thought he was their number one maybe. Like he was, and we know that's not reality, but he was going off and was doing work between the numbers. So he will take more of the load, and I think they smacked the Patriots pretty good.
Yeah, a little nugget on that game as well. So you're probably going to hear people talking about this one. And, hey, they might be on the Patriots. And you'll probably hear someone say, I love Belichick getting points at home in a divisional game. The Patriots are 0-5 against the spread in their last five games as a home underdog. So don't listen to that. I don't really think that. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the reputation of Bill Belichick should still be brought into people's handicaps? I don't think it should be anymore. What do you think of that?
That's a good question. I think it's, I'm with you. I think it's over. I think it's over played into it, especially let's say it this way. It should be put into it when Bill has the pieces, the chess pieces to be able to do what he wants to do. Cause he's a smart guy. He's great at adapting. He's great at taking, you know, what they're putting your dominant arm behind your back is what they say. But when you don't have the pieces and the talent to do it, then I think we overvalue what he can do when he doesn't have, you know, good talent. And I think that's the biggest thing is you look at this roster, I'm with you. Like the Bill Belichick thing and this, I've heard that a lot already. Oh, they have Belichick. We're going to see what they can do in Tua, what Tua can do against Belichick. Well, different story when he doesn't have, you know, the pieces to move around back there on defense. So I'm with you. I think it's overhyped.
Okay, so before we let you go, we got to talk.
Asante Samuel Sr. think Bill's overhyped too, if you haven't read his stuff on Bill.
Yeah, I caught that. Let me ask you about the Jets here, though. This is probably, I've been watching football for a long time, even watching for a little bit longer. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. We had 6 months of buildup. That was the number one story. Aaron Rodgers in New York. It was the number one story on the cover of magazines, so much content. Focused on that, it was going to be, you know, probably the funnest thing to track throughout the course of the season. Everyone knows I was down on the Jets, but still, I didn't want to see Aaron Rodgers get injured. I want to see how this was going to play out because that's right. Part of the fun of watching this stuff. But their defense looked pretty damn good. I know Josh Allen kind of made it easy for them in a couple spots, but do you think there's a chance that, you know, we're in mid-December and the Jets are still in the mix potentially?
I mean, does Phillip Rivers pop up? I'm serious. I'm not joking. I mean, so I know it's funny because I just the best options are guys who are recently retired. I mean, are you going to win with Zach Wilson? I don't think so. I don't think that's the case. But, I mean, he was the number two overall pick. And obviously a lot of evaluators watched him and he's talented. He wouldn't get selected that high and given a contract unless he had some tools. So, maybe he's learned some stuff. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I look at the talent they have and I'm with you. It's they're loaded in most places, except for the offensive line, which is part of the reason why Aaron's not here. But if they could find a way, I don't know who or what it is. There's no one to trade for. So it's either get somebody who's recently retired and still wants to play, or hope that Zach can, can figure it out. But I hope they are in play, because just to watch football and that be a story is great. I more care about winning and cracking the books every week than I do about storylines, to be totally honest with you. Although my jobs kind of conflict each other, but they know that anyway. That's my passion. But I did want to follow this storyline, because it's must see TV, and it sucks kind of that that story's not going to be there, whether it was good or bad.
Yeah, one of the more shocking things I've ever seen in my entire life of watching sports. Now, it would be interesting I love when other teams have drama, right? And do I think Zach Wilson's going to develop into a good quarterback? No, I don't. But stranger things have happened. It would be very interesting if he, gets better as the season goes along. Right. Maybe the Jets finish the season 9-8, and people kind of change their tune on him, where, hey, this guy might be the quarterback of the future. Then all of a sudden, you have Aaron Rodgers wanting to come back, and it's like, well, what do we do here? I mean, they probably would go to Rodgers, but I think that'd be a funny predicament for the Jets to be in.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Zach's going to be that good, I think, enough to where they want to move on from Rodgers. But, no, why'd you laugh at my Philip Rivers? No chance?
Well, I mean, he was rumored to come, to San Francisco last year?
Yeah,
and he could come in, a veteran guy. He won't make as many mistakes as Zach Wilson, right. And they can control the clock and try to play the whole time management game. But yeah, I mean,
he's not my first choice. But I'm saying, if there's just nobody out there, who else is out there?
Yeah, you're gonna do
someone say Colin Kaepernick yesterday, and I tweeted back to them, if Cap comes back, then I'm coming back. Damn it.
Yeah, listen, Kaepernick hasn't played in 70 years. You might as well give Tim Tebow a shot if you're going to give Kaepernick a shot, right? And, Carson Wentz, I know the guy's a bit of a punching bag. No chance there. He's failed for three teams. So, yeah, it might be Philip Rivers. I would love to see it. Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick, too. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. But it would be interesting to see. So, of course, the jokes were made with Tom Brady. But, yeah, I think the Jets are going to be stuck with Zach Wilson.
Did you give me a lock yet for tonight? Did you give me one?
I like over 48.5 for this one. I think they're going to be zipping up and down the field. I like the Eagles first quarter minus 1.5.
Hey, I'm putting that over 48.5 in right now. You know what I call that, Joe? I call
that
a support bet, because you got to support your team. So I'm going to set a support bet. I'm throwing it in. And if we hit, then I'm just going to keep on riding with you. That's what we do.
My man, Davis, I appreciate the support. Appreciate the support. We appreciate you joining the show today. Best of luck with your bets in week 2, buddy. My man, and we will catch you again next week.
Thanks, buddy.
Yes, sir. That is our guy, Davis Sanchez from TSN up here in Canada. Okay, that's enough NFL talk. Let's shift gears to college football. Let's bring in our guy, Brad Powers. He was on the show on Monday breaking down his best bets. We'll recap those here at the end of the segment. But Brad, let's get right down to business here and discuss some of these big games going down this weekend. Let's start with this Michigan State-Washington game, a spread of 16. What are you thinking for this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go contrarian here. I actually like Michigan State in this game, but I'm not in a race to bet it, because I think there's so much negativity around this Mel Tucker situation in Michigan State that I think, Joe Q Public is, no disrespect intended there. I think they're going to want to bet Washington. So let's wait until game day, get a good number on Michigan State. And reason being for me is I didn't think much of Mel Tucker. So he doesn't impact the point spread to me. I mean, certainly there's some distractions, but I think a lot of these situations, you get a one game rallying point, and it's a big game against a Washington team. It's at night, at home. And traditionally, Michigan State as a program, typically chip on their shoulder. It doesn't matter who the coach is, bringing in Mark D'Antonio, who is a classic example of that, thought process as an analyst or whatever, I think only further cements that thought process that I have, that Michigan State's going to play their best game of the season. Will it be enough to beat Washington? No, but I think it's going to be enough to make it a very close game, at least late third quarter, early fourth quarter.
Okay, so Michigan State to keep things competitive there. Kind of a fun-looking game here. Tennessee, Florida, total of 48. and a half. You think it will be really fun and go over? You think that total is too high?
Yeah, let's go under 58 and a half in this one. I know it's tough betting a Tennessee game under when they run more plays per minute than any team in the country, but it doesn't matter how many plays you're running if you're not efficient, which they aren't compared to what they were a year ago with Joe Milton under center compared to Hendon Hooker. And the reality is they have not faced a good defense yet, but yet here we are against Virginia and Austin Peay, and on a possession in and out basis, they just, I mean, to put it in perspective, there's a minute left in the second quarter against Austin Peay last week, and Tennessee's high-powered offense, the highest-scoring offense in the country last year, has 6 points on the board. So there are some major concerns here, and now they're stepping up way in class as far as defensive personnel and talent against Florida at night in the swamp. I think they struggle, and I also think Tennessee's defense, though, is improved on that side of the ball, and Florida's offense will struggle. So let's go under 58.5.
Okay, let's keep ripping through these. Another fun one. There's going to be a lot of eyes on this one, obviously. A lot of attention on Colorado these days. Colorado, Colorado State, a total of 60.5. Do you think this is going to be a high-scoring one?
Yeah, so multitude of reasons why I like the over here. Number one, obviously, you know, I don't know why these coaches are doing it. They're giving Deion more fodder. I mean, it came out today that, you know, I don't understand it, but Jay Norvell, the coach for Colorado State, says, I don't know about you guys, but when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat off and my glasses off when I'm talking to the media. So obviously a shot at Prime. So if Prime gets the opportunity to run it up on Colorado State, which I think they're capable of, he'll do so. He's not going to take the foot off the gas pedal. And also Colorado State is going to change their quarterbacks. They were much more effective late in the game against Washington State with the Nicolosi kid. So I think they can have some success against a Colorado defense that hasn't impressed me. So I think we're going to see a high-scoring game late Saturday night, over 60.5 for me.
Okay, let's add another best bet to the ones you gave out on Monday. Just to recap for the viewers, if you didn't catch Monday's show with Brad, he gave out Syracuse -2.5, San Jose State, Toledo over 56.5, and Northwestern +19.5. And you have another one to add, LSU. A 9.5-point favorite versus Mississippi State. You like LSU in this one?
Yeah, this is my favorite bet of the week. And I know people are going to say, oh, early start time. Did you see LSU against Florida State? They got whipped. Mississippi State, tough place to play with the Cowbells. I'm here to tell you, I don't think much of this Mississippi State team this year. I saw them last week against Arizona. They're at home. Mississippi State is a touchdown plus favorite. They are +4 in turnovers. And yet that game had to be won in overtime at home, Mississippi State against Arizona, when they were +4 in turnovers. Typically, when you're +4 in turnovers, you are covering well over 90% of the time. So the fact they didn't cover says that to me that they're extremely overrated. And I also think the public and the market downgraded LSU too much for the Florida State final score. The reality was 6 minutes left in the third quarter. That's a tie ball game. LSU's wide receiver drops what could have been a touchdown pass. That would have put them up 7 late third quarter against a really good Florida State team. So I thought LSU got a nice reset last week against an FCS school. They did what they needed to do, put a 72 spot on Grambling. So I think they bounce back here, and, you know, I think they win comfortably. In fact, I mean, I'll take a 10-point win, but honestly, I think this is a 17-21-point win for LSU.
LSU, there you have it. We'll lock that one in. So let's leave it at this, Brad. So we're getting right into the thick of things here. A little bit. Is there anything that you've seen the first two or three games from these teams that has dramatically changed your opinion on either a team or a player based on what you thought was going to happen coming into the season?
Well, obviously it's Colorado. I mean, would be Exhibit A. I've upgraded their power rating 11 points since the start of the season. That's never happened before. 22 points since the end of last season. That's never happened before. So, I mean, they're the biggest obviously upgrade or downgrade for any team by far. I'm usually pretty conservative when it comes to power ratings. I'll say this. I think generally overall, because everyone wants to talk national title, I think it's a wide open race as we've seen in maybe a decade or more in college football. Georgia does not look the part. Ohio State's down. Alabama's already lost. Clemson's already lost. That's really opening the door for other teams like Florida State, Texas, USC, Notre Dame. We'll see what they got next week against Ohio State. I mean, typically, I only think there's 3-4 teams that can win the national championship. This year, it might be double that. It might be 6, 8, maybe even 10.
Damn. Okay. Wide open. It's nice to see parity in college football. So exciting to see as the season keeps on rolling here. So, Brad, yeah, we'll leave it at that, my man. Thank you for joining us again. Best of luck with your bets on the weekend. We'll catch you on Monday.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Yes, sir. That is our guy. He knows his stuff. He is the guy to follow for college football stuff. So if you're just tuning in, if you missed the top half of the show, let's recap the bets that we do like for Thursday night football. My best bets for the game tonight. I like this one to go over. I think these teams are going to be zipping up and down the field. The Vikings threw it a lot in week one. Eagles secondary is beat up. And hey, I think the Eagles defense is overrated. They had a cupcake schedule last season. Look at the games they played versus capable offenses. They gave up a lot of points. And I do like the Eagles first quarter, -1.5. We're going to try that out. The Eagles typically score first in most games. The Vikings defense, a history of getting off to bad starts since the start of last season. Our guy Josh, he likes that Hurts. This is a popular bet, and it's usually a pretty reasonable price. Maybe it will go up as the season goes on, but Hurts over 46.5 rushing yards. I like that one. And his favorite prop bet for the weekend, Cook over 50.5, Raiders versus Bills. So that does it, guys. If you like the show today, you can let us know by simply hitting that like button right down there. We got a lot of great content here at Cover, so make sure you subscribe to the Cover's YouTube channel here. Mick, if you want to bring up that fancy graphic that we spent tens of thousands of dollars on that special effect there, that subscribe one. So we got to get our money's worth and use that one a lot. So make sure you hit the subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content on the channel right now. We have previews for every single NFL game this weekend. There's a good looking UFC card coming up this weekend. Going to be recording our best bets for that here right after the show, actually. So make sure you check that out and make sure you head on over to covers.com for all your sports betting needs. Best of luck with your bets tonight. We will catch you again tomorrow. Same time, same place. See you then. Woo!